And if you want to reach your destiny, here's what you've got to do.
When it's time to change, then it's
time to change.
Don't fight the tide, come along for the ride, don't you see? When it's time to change, you've got to rearrange who you are.
Well, thanks for tuning in. This is Matt Santos of the Mile High Show. You're listening to episode 155. And that intro was, of course, the Brady Bunch, full of hot pants, bell bottoms, and paisley shirts. The reason I chose that is, as you can tell, my voice is not what it's cracked up to be. A lot of times it's unbearable to listen to, but it's just because of the stuff that spews out of it, not necessarily the sound of it. And as you can tell, I'm coming over from some laryngitis that I contracted last week. What is going on with the website here? Some of these headers are not working. Oh, so what happened over the last 10 days or so is that I completely lost my voice, and I was sounding a lot like that Peter Brady scratch and changing of the voice that you heard on that. So I just figured I'd toss that in there. I have had a fun-filled fun-filled week or two, and I have been a little remiss at scheduling these interviews. So I wanted to throw something up today just to get back on track and to figure out if I still know how to use this recorder or not. I spent the bulk of last week carousing the comedy clubs down in the Phoenix area. I had a lot of fun starting out with the House of Comedy in North Phoenix / Scottsdale, Rick Bronson's House of Comedy, and then spent a good chunk of the week between Stand Up Live and didn't get over to the Tempe Improv, but a lot of time at Stand Up Live and Copper Blues, which were the hub of the very first inaugural All Things Comedy Festival. It was a / podcast and comedy festival. A lot of podcasts were recorded during the week with a lot of stand-up shows thrown in the mix as well. The biggest names in American comedy were down there, starting with and led by Bill Burr, Al Madrigal, Burt Kreischer, Ryan Sickler, Jay Larson, Murray Valeriano, just to name a few. A ton of them were down there. What was going on was All Things Comedy, the comedy network spearheaded by Bill Burr and Al Madrigal, which is comedy made by comedians for comedians and for the comedy fans. Information on All Things Comedy is available at allthingscomedy.com. Now, what they did is several years ago, they put together this network where comics can create their own content, avoid the middleman of managers and others to distribute it, and they distribute all that comedy gold at allthingscomedy.com. It is home to dozens and dozens of comedic podcasts, including the Comedy Store podcast with Eleanor Kerrigan and Rick Ingram, Punch Drunk Sports with Sam Tripoli, Ari Shaffir, who else is that? Jason Thibault, the Burt Kreischer, the Burt Cast. Who else is on there? I think Greg Fitzsimmons is on there. Of course, the Crab Feast is on there with Ryan Sickler and Jay Larson. You know what? Paul Verzi, the Verzi Effect is on. Well, here, I've got him up there already. Let's see. Steve Ranazzisi, Hear Me This Book is on that network. There's a ton of them. And, of course, my good friend Steve Simone with the Good Times podcast. Well, the All Things Comedy folks decided to come out to Phoenix and Tempe to put on this this festival. And then I got contacted by Jack Galvin, one of the producers and organizers of the Big Pine Comedy Festival. which takes place in Flagstaff. We've been there shooting pictures the last few years, as well as recording some podcasts up there in Flagstaff. Well, the good folks at All Things Comedy reached out to Jack and his production team and said, hey, can you give us a hand in coordinating this and putting up this festival in the form of volunteers and ambassadors and directing people to the venues and all that good stuff. Well, Jack then opened the door for me to get in there and take some pictures. So I spent 4 days or so photographing some of the biggest names in American comedy. And it was a lot of fun, and I barely scratched the surface because you can only, you know, be in one place at one time. Barely scratched the surface. There were so many venues, so many shows that I didn't even get a chance to poke my head in. But I did have a great time getting to introduce myself to the good folks at All Things Comedy, their social media guru, Mr. Brenton Biddlecombe, who I've met before. He is a Comedy Store comic and handles social media for the Comedy Store as well as All Things Comedy. Great comic, and I got a chance to sit and talk with him a little bit more. So hopefully I will be doing some more things for All Things Comedy in the future. I'm hoping to anyway. But it was a blast. It started last Thursday and stretched out through Sunday, ending with the Never Not Funny Jimmy Pardo, Matt Belknap podcast that I enjoyed to see as well. Let me give you a roundabout of how the week went. Now, first off, again, I apologize for the scratchiness of the voice, but I got the one of the reasons I was able to go down there and spend so much time is I piggybacked it on a couple of commercial jobs I had, some photo jobs. One being, well, both of them were based around some, nursery schools, some preschools that I do some work for, not just up here in Yavapai County, but also, the same owners, the McCready family, have some, two schools down in the Phoenix area. So, Valley Learning Center brings you this podcast and the Busy Bee Learning Center. Valley Learning Center being based in Chino Valley, Busy Bee in Prescott Valley. Those are the ones that we do quite a bit. But they also have down in Phoenix the Creative Campus with a K, both Ks, Creative and Campus spelled with a K. I don't know what that's telling you about the people that are teaching our kids how to spell. But they spell Creative and Campus both with K's. I don't know how I quite feel about that. And also Robin's Nest. Both of those are in Phoenix. So I shot one of those on Wednesday, one of them on Thursday. But I head out. I hit the road last Tuesday to head down south from the Prescott area. And when I travel alone, I tend to travel in the most economic way possible. So what I did was jumped on hotels.com and found the cheapest room I can find. And I found it, Vacation Inn in Phoenix, which I think is part of the Days Inn chain. And I am looking at it right now. Vacation Inn in Phoenix, for one, it does not look anything like these photographs with the beautiful palm trees and flowered walkways and grass. I will tell you this. It has a lot of good things going for it, the Vacation Inn in Phoenix, Arizona. The vacationinphoenix.com. One, it is extremely inexpensive. Yeah, I think it is part of the Days Inn group. It looks like the same kind of sign. VacationInPhoenix.com, 2420 West Thomas Road. If you're not familiar with that address, maybe this will spark your attention. Right on the corner of the I-17 or the Highway 17 in Phoenix and Thomas Road is a 24-hour Jack in the Box that is not only home to two tacos for 99 cents, but also home to various prostitution rings, drug deals, and a favorite stomping ground of the local PD. So that was going for it because I knew I can get tacos 24 hours a day if I wanted to. It is also very inexpensive. I think it averaged out to about $25 a night for a room. This is what I noticed when I first pulled up. I got in there Tuesday afternoon and went over to check in. I got my two little card keys, and then I had a ton of gear in my truck, not only audio recording gear, which I ended up not using, my trusty Zoom H6 recorder, but a lot of photo gear because I was shooting the comedy shows as well as the preschools. So I had a lot of gear in there, so I wanted to get it in the room as soon as I could and as discreetly as I could. So I parked very close to the entrance of my room, room 148, I believe. I parked on the far end, the north end of the parking lot, so I can unload. And my key did not work to gain access to the hallway for the exterior door. So I kept my truck locked up and walked on down to the front desk so that I could exchange my keys out or get them recharged or whatever I needed to do. And in the course of me walking the distance of, oh, I'm going to ballpark it, maybe 15, 18 parking spaces, I passed two separate pickup trucks, very similar to mine, with people sleeping, and this is like 2 in the afternoon, sleeping in the beds of the trucks, bundled up in sleeping bags and discarded quilts and things. So the only thing I can figure is that the owners of those vehicles had checked in and were inside of their rooms cozy and comfortably, and maybe they sublet the truck beds out. So I was paying $25 a night. I don't know. What does it cost to sublet a truck bed in Phoenix in the parking lot of a motel? I wouldn't pay more than $8. I think eight would be about my limit. If they threw in some bottled water, maybe $9.50, I think, would be a good idea. So anyway, I get my keys recharged up, and I walk back to the truck, and I go over to the passenger side of my truck so I can pull out my laptop and camera case. Those are the two I really wanted to get locked up right away. And as I opened my passenger door, I looked down under the door jamb and saw a discarded needle. So I'm not sure. Some of you may view that as an unhygienic parking lot. I tend to look, I'm kind of a glasses half full kind of guy. I view it more as the clientele is probably partaking in needle exchange. If they can afford to throw away a needle, then that means they must have another needle at the ready for their midweek hypodermic injection fun time on a Tuesday afternoon. So I'm a glass is half full kind of guy. I'm going to say, hey, you know, and I was hoping for you know, a Danish and a cup of coffee in the morning, but here I am ready with a being able to get a clean needle if need be. So I'll take that as a plus. So I load up the room. I unpack all my stuff and then went on inside the room to watch some Law and Order, which is my favorite pastime to do when I am in motel rooms, because I do not have TV other than streaming services, the Hulus and the Netflix and the Amazon Prime and stuff at home. I don't have any broadcast channels. I don't have any cable channels. So I get my Law and Order fix in motel rooms. So I watched a couple hours of Law and Order before going over and getting my first round of tacos, which I did do. I did stock up on tacos all week long. So rest assured, I am gladly supporting the food service industry in the Phoenix Valley area by my continued use of the two tacos for a buck model of digestion. I got to stay hydrated. My throat is killing me still. So that day, I wasn't sure what I was going to do. That night, I did want to make sure I got home fairly early, because I did have to be up at, you know, whatever it was, 6 o'clock in the morning. Then I started searching through on some of the Facebook pages. Let me pull one up, because this is one, if you are a comedy fan, such as myself, or maybe a comic looking to get some stage time on Facebook. there is a group that you can follow and join. Let me pull it up here. Comedy Open Mics in Phoenix and the Valley, a public group, Comedy Open Mics in Phoenix and the Valley, where many local comics and promoters and bookers and folks putting on shows will post their open mics and even some of their ticketed and booked gigs as a way for comedy fans to know what's going on, as well as for the open micers to know where they can go and get some stage time. So I found a posting on there from Rob Mabee, former guest of the show and a friend of mine, who was hosting one on that Tuesday night, that evening. Sign-ups were like at 6. I think the show started either 7 or 7:30 up at Rick Bronson's House of Comedy in North Phoenix. So Rob hosts that in conjunction with a couple other guys every Tuesday night. I forget what the door fee is. I forget what it is. It's only a couple of bucks, if that. And, of course, your two-drink minimum. But it's a great chance to see not only some brand-new open micers, but also some seasoned Valley comic vets like Billy O'Connor and Rob Mabee. Billy, who was there that night, as well as Matt Storrs of the famed Storrs Objection. If you're not familiar with that, Google it, search it. The Storrs Objection, Matt Storrs, S-T-O-R-R-S. And, of course, Bronx Billy O'Connor, former guest of the show as well. They were both up trying out some new stuff, just to work out some kinks of some new bits and new stories that they're working on. There was maybe a dozen or so comics on. They were going anywhere from 3 to 7 minutes, and a lot of fun. Like I said, it was a chance to see some new faces, as well as hear some new bits and new routines, new stories by some of the vets. And that is each and every Tuesday at House of Comedy in Arizona, and they are at az.houseofcomedy.net. That's a Rick Bronson club. They are located at on High Street in Phoenix, Arizona. And then links to their social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff is right there at az.houseofcomedy.net. Who do they got coming up? Ali Sadiq is coming up soon. DC Benny, I think, is this week. Jimmy Schubert next week. Oh, man, they got Jeff Capri. They got a full lineup. But that night, it was the open mic night, and that's every Tuesday. Yuck, man. Believe it or not, this is the best my voice has been in the last 10 days. I'm recording this on Friday the 3rd, and this time last week, last Friday, in the middle of All Things Comedy, I had no voice at all, which is one of the reasons why I didn't attempt to record a podcast down in the Valley, because it was worse than this, and I didn't want to butcher it in front of the powers that be. So anyway, that's why I'm kind of doing this wrap up today. Where are we at? 20 minutes. Tuesday night, that's where I was. And then Pauly Casals, I'm probably butchering his last name. Put it in that open mic page on Facebook, because Paul hosts a show on Tuesday nights at the Crescent Ballroom in Phoenix, right downtown. I want to say like Van Buren and 3rd or something like that, right near right across the street from the Van Buren, the new club that's out there. But the Crescent Ballroom, it's a great venue, not only for music, but comedy as well. Anwar Newton and Michael Turner do a show there every Thursday, the This Week Sucks Tonight show. But Paul does one on Tuesdays called The Switch, and I wasn't familiar with it. Rob Mabee was telling me about it, so convinced me. He asked if I wanted to join him down there, so I did, and I'm glad I did. What it is Paul takes suggestions from fans, from his audience. During the day, they tweet in, whether it be a saying, a word, or a sentence, And then he collects those and invites various comics up to the stage at the Crescent Ballroom. And as they come up, they see for the first time that theme, that word, that phrase, and then they have to turn it into a bit on the spot. And I tell you, jam-packed with local comics, and it was a blast to watch. Eric Subcheck was there. John Carden was there. I can't remember else who else was on, but a lot of familiar faces, and it was a lot of fun. Tuesday nights at the Crescent Ballroom. So that's what we did. We ended up staying a little later than I had hoped, or I did. So at about midnight, I decided it was time that that I needed to get back to my my abode at the Vacation Inn on Thomas and 17. And as I got about a block away from the Crescent, I realized something I should have realized before I got in the car, was that I really had to get rid of a bunch of that iced tea I'd been drinking all day, and I needed to use the restroom. So I figured to myself, you know what? I'll be at the hotel. There's no traffic at 12:15. I will get to my room, and I'll be fine. Then I had another urge that I hadn't eaten in several hours, so I was pretty hungry. So this was the thinking that went through my brain. I am staying in a motel that shares a parking lot with a Jack in the Box. I will pull up in the drive-thru because I think the walk in the lobby area at the Jack in the Box closes like midnight or whatever, but it was closed already. So I figured I'll zoom through the drive-in, grab a few tacos, maybe a burger, run back to the room, and relieve myself of the necessary liquids I needed to get out of my system. But alas, that didn't happen, because as I pulled into the Jack in the Box drive-thru, there was only two cars in front of me. One who was just getting done ordering, and the other who was at the window already getting her, as I found out later, her food. Now, I placed my order for all off that value menu. I think I was prepared to spend a whopping like $4.25. A junior bacon cheeseburger for like $1.49, $1.59, and two tacos. They're not two for a buck anymore. They're two for $1.19 or whatever. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. I place my order, creep up a few feet past the ordering window, or ordering speaker, and a car immediately pulls behind me. So now I am virtually trapped in my car, and a couple minutes goes by, longer than should be at 12:45 or 12:30 in the morning, and I start doing that front seat dance, where I know I am going to need these cars in front of me to move very quickly. And they are not. So that's when I noticed that the woman in the front car that's already at the window has her bag of food, and she is screaming at the person on the other side of the order window, or the service window. And she's screaming at them. She's wanting her money back. And then I crack my window just to hear what's going on, and I start hearing her at the top of her voice screaming not only into the service window, but also on her phone, which she is angrily waving around. She is evidently upset that they have gotten her order wrong. I'm not sure what she was ordering, you know, what food she wanted to order, you know, served to order at the drive-thru window in the middle of the night. But whatever she got wasn't satisfactory, so she was demanding her money back. And then she was yelling in her phone as well. I guess if you ever notice, like at the any fast food restaurants, or you know, like on your bags and at the windows where you order, there'll be like an 800 number for corporate. I've never called that. I don't know if you ever have, but I've never been in a position that service was so great or so horrible that I felt the need to call corporate. Now, I have had very good service, and I've let the manager know that something was done above and beyond. I have also been treated badly at fast food, to where I've told the manager, hey, you know, look, this ain't cool. I have never been motivated one extreme or the other to call corporate. This young lady evidently was. So what we could hear as fellow customers of hers was that the order was wrong. She was not being offered her money back. And she had evidently at one point been the manager at this very establishment. So she knows how it's done, was her words. I know how it's done. I know what you have to do. So she is yelling that they need to take her food back, and they weren't having any of it. So she grabbed two bags of fast food, which I can only assume was so horrible she didn't want it in her vehicle, because she then chucked it at the window, not through the window, not in the window, but at the window that was closed. So fries and fountain drinks with ice splashed everywhere. Fries were flying all over, and then little wrapped goodies of some kind, I'm assuming burgers or chicken sandwiches, were all over the drive-through aisle lane. Then she proceeded to walk up and down to the car in front of me and to mine to apologize for the poor service of the folks on the inside, again reiterating the fact that she was at one point the manager of this fine establishment, and it would never happen this way under her watch. And she is sorry that she is taking up all of this time. All this time I am now having to use the bathroom way more than I am comfortable with by sitting in the front of my car. I can't back out because there's a car behind me. So at that point, a representative from the before mentioned Jack in the Box comes out the little side door, the employee entrance, I guess, to inform us that not only will our food be forthcoming, it will be coming at no charge due to the disturbance that they're having up front. And I proceed to tell him, I said, you know, that's great, but what I really need is to use your men's room. And he informs me that, no, that would not be possible because the lobby area is closed. And I told him, I don't care. I really need to go. If I could just jump out real quick, run in the door he just came out of, use the bathroom, come back, I promise I will not try and steal onion rings or tacos. I just really need to use his plumbing facilities. He informed me again that, no, that would be impossible, but please back out and park aside because they are going to attempt to remove this woman from the drive-thru area. And I explained to him I could not back out. So now it's a whole traffic congestion because he has to get the person behind me to back out so I could back out so the person in front of me can back out. And then he let us know that the police were on their way, which I like cops. I know several, especially in my little small town of Chino Valley, but in the middle of the night in Phoenix, when I have to pee really bad, I don't necessarily want to be sitting next to a policeman. So I am finally allowed to back out. I back out. He assures me your food will be right out. So I park off to the side, and he, within 10, 15 seconds, comes running up to my car. Sorry, sir, here you go. And he hands me what is not my food. It's like 2.5 bags of full of stuff, which I immediately assumed was for the person in front of me. And I looked at him, I said, I'm sorry, this isn't mine. He's rattling off what the order is, you know, an ultimate cheeseburger, a bunch of stuff I didn't order. I handed it back. I said, no, that's not mine, but I really got to use the bathroom. He goes, no, I'm sorry, we'll be right back. So he goes and hands it to the person who had been parked in front of me. They drive away. And then it's another 10 seconds or so. He comes running back out. He has my food, and he hands it to me. Unfortunately, by this time, I have created my own plumbing on the little bush that is outside of the employee entrance. I am not proud to say it, but I did relieve myself in public because I could not wait. It's something odd. Now, I find this odd when I'm in a public restroom and I'm using the urinal and somebody especially up here in the Prescott area, nine times out of ten, I walk into a building, I know three or four people at least in that building, restaurant, wherever, coffee shop. I always find it odd that somebody wants to strike up a conversation with you while you're standing at a urinal. Now, kick that up a couple of notches. I am not standing at a urinal. I have one arm leaned against the wall and one arm not leaned up against the wall as I am relieving myself on this bush directly outside of a Jack in the Box when the man not only did he start to converse with me, but he's trying to hand me a bag of food at the same time, which was a little awkward, I think, for both of us. It was more awkward for me, I believe. Oddly enough, he didn't seem that surprised, so I'm guessing that this is not something uncommon to the Jack in the Box at 17 and Thomas. But as he hands me the bag and then apologizes again for, one, interrupting me, which he did say, sorry for interrupting you, here's your food, sorry for the wait. And then as an afterthought, he says, oh, well, yeah, the cops are here. So I immediately zipped up and jumped in my truck and drove across the parking lot to my room. So that's how my first day in Phoenix went. It was an interesting night. 2 days then of photographing preschools. And this is what I'll say about photographing preschools. I do it quite a bit. The process of photographing preschools is not that difficult. It's the editing process after the fact. So I have spent several days photoshopping boogers out of toddlers' lips and noses, because that is what's entailed when you photograph preschools, is just removing mucus from photographs where mucus should not be. That's what I did Wednesday and Thursday morning. But in between that, I did get back over Wednesday night to the House of Comedy to see my buddy Steve Simone on stage. Opening for him was Greg Freiler and the always interesting Jonathan Gregory, the king of creepy comedy. Opening, both of them opening for Steve Simone. If you're not familiar with Steve Simone's comedy, he has been a guest on this show a couple of times in the past. You can find out his information, order his CD, which I had took a small part in helping him record last year in La Jolla at the Comedy Store La Jolla. It is called What's Up, Nerds, and it is available at Steve's website, awesomesteve.com. The beauty of Steve Simone's comedy is, as it needs to be, it's hilarious. He is very energetic, and he is also very clean on stage, which is tough to find. I have gone on stage a few times. My comedy is, if you can even call it that, is clean. It does not, I try to watch my tongue when I speak, especially when I'm working on the cars, because I have been known to let loose with a bleepable word on occasion. As you know from this podcast, it is all radio-friendly language, and I try and keep it that way. That's how we behave in our home. When I am on stage, the very few times I've been on stage, my storytelling is the same. I keep it as clean as you can be when you're telling stories about peeing at a fast food restaurant. Steve is the same way. Now, that cannot be said for every comic that was on stage that I saw this week. Some are not what you would call family friendly. They would be PG, to say the least. But Steve's is very, very family friendly, and I really enjoy that. So I got a chance to see him on stage, and then a friend of the show and acquaintance of mine and good friend of Steve, Simone, also a comic in Phoenix, Andy Copper, and his family were there. So we all went over to Mellow Mushroom Pizza after the show and had something to eat and hung out. It was a lot of fun. Again, got home fairly decent. Gave Steve a ride back to the condo across the way there, and had a lot of fun talking with Steve. He's a good guy just to sit and have a conversation with. So if you get a chance to see him, either live or pull up his YouTube videos, or better yet, go on awesomesteve.com and order that CD. Do so. You'll enjoy it, and you'll thank me for it later. Oh, I had to hydrate again. Then I got up early Thursday and did the other preschool, and then relaxed and did some photo editing of the various comedy as well as preschool jobs. That's what I did Thursday afternoon before heading over to Stand Up Live and the All Things Comedy Festival and the pop-up podcast studio that they had set up at Cityscape Walk, because I got a chance to see Ari Shaffir, Eleanor Kerrigan, Murray Valeriano, and a bunch of other comics throughout the weekend, not only doing their stand-up, but also recording their podcast at that pop-up comedy, the pop-up podcast studio. It was a lot of fun. Those podcast recordings were all free as well. Check out allthingscomedy.com for highlights of the shows. They haven't yet, but I gave them a bunch of pictures, so hopefully some of my photos will be up there at some point. And I got to send them over the rest because I only got them the Thursday and Fridays. I got to get them Saturday and Sunday still. But it was a lot of fun. Then the Orpheum Theater, that's another venue they had for the Doug Stanhope podcast where Bert Kreischer was a guest on. That Orpheum Theater is just absolutely beautiful. If you get a chance to see a show there, a lot of comedy there as well as music, and I believe they do some stage presentations and stuff, some plays and things, but beautiful, beautiful theater right there downtown as well, right around from the Renaissance Hotel where Bird City was based this past year, the Bird City Comedy Festival. They see all the intertwining there of Big Pine and Bird City and all things comedy. Phoenix is turning into a very big comedy capital, and I'm glad to see that because being a comedy fan as well as getting the opportunity to photograph a lot of these comedy shows, it's a lot of fun. So I'm glad I'm able to do that and get a chance to see not just the beautiful venues, but also the backstage and the underbelly of some of these theaters and venues, because it's a lot of fun. That's I enjoy kind of being on the inside for that stuff. It's a blast. So did that all day Thursday, and then the Bert Kreischer call-in sick to work show, which was Friday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon in between a bunch of these podcasts, a complete sellout at Stand Up Live. It was such a packed house. It was a lot of fun. Just craziness on stage. Doug Benson was up on stage. They brought a couple of people from the audience up. Stanhope was up there. I think Ari opened it. I didn't see that part of it. Ari Shaffir. I was down at one of the podcasts. But it was a lot of fun. And I got to stress this. The folks at All Things Comedy, once they give you that that lanyard, that festival pass as a volunteer, as a photographer, as a host, or whatever, you know, there was a bunch of different people wearing them. That opened the door for a lot of hospitality. They really took care of the talent, which they always do. Festival organizers always take care of the talent. Some of us on the outskirts that aren't necessarily the talent, we're like the volunteers, the help, the grunts. Sometimes get forgotten a little bit. Big Pine always takes care of us. Bird City always takes care of us. But I have done music festivals and other comedy festivals and other big events where the support staff isn't always. I don't want to say taken care of because we're there to do a job, but sometimes we're an afterthought. The folks at All Things Comedy took care of us above and beyond in the sense of providing us meals and beverages and swag and t-shirts and stuff. But they also spread the word around. Copper Blues, Chico Ma's, I forget the Mexican restaurant, right underneath Copper Blues downstairs. And of course, the folks at Stand Up Live went out of their way. They bent over backwards to make us feel welcome, to take care of us, to make sure we didn't want for anything. And over the course of 4 days, I had some of the same wait staff at Copper Blues and at Stand Up Live, and they got to know what we were ordering. They were addressing us by name. The sound guy, Gabriel, at Stand Up Live, Matthew, the one of the managers, Casey, the manager of the of Stand Up Live, they would come up and greet me by name each day. Hey, do you need anything? What can we get you? Do you need you need some spot, some space to store your gear? Above and beyond to make us feel welcome and to really, really roll out the red carpet. And I credit not only All Things Comedy, of course, that's where it started, but I really credit the staff themselves and the management at the venues and at the restaurants and the clubs, because they went out of their way to make us all feel at home, and that doesn't always happen. So it really fell in line with the feeling I get at Big Pine Comedy Festival, as well as Bird City, because those are smaller festivals. I know the organizers on, personally, so they've always taken care of me to the nth degree. They've really made me feel at home at those events. I didn't really expect that at All Things Comedy, because it's such a, they're dealing with such big names, talent and the management as well. But they didn't make me feel that way. They made me feel like part of the team, and I really, really can't say enough, especially the good folks at Stand Up Live. That's where I spent most of my time. And they really took care of us, and it was such a blast to really feel part of that All Things Comedy family. I really enjoyed it. So that's how I spent Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then on Sunday, I had a little experience as well. My wife and son had came down Friday and spent Friday and Saturday. As I pop in a little egg roll. So, Sunday morning, we wake up at the hotel, a different hotel. We're in a Holiday Inn. See, when I travel with the family, we upscale it a little bit. When I'm solo, needle exchange program's fine. I don't want that for my kid. So we check out of the Holiday. Oh, there it goes. We check out of the Holiday Inn Express Sunday morning. Go into downtown Phoenix to actually up in the metro area. there's a shoe store there that the Skechers, give them a plug, Skechers Outlet on Metro Center, where my wife likes to buy shoes for our son because he gets a really good deal. They're very sturdy shoes. And if you have an 8-year-old or you remember when you were 7, 8, 9 years old, you burn through shoes like crazy. So we went there to get him a pair of shoes, and I didn't get to bed till 4 a.m. that night, that morning. So I was very tired. So we drive together up there. We each have our cars, and we go to Skechers. We buy him a pair of shoes. We go around the corner to get something to eat. And we went to this place right near Metro Center, and a couple weird things happened on Sunday. There's a buffet up there. Now, when you have a little kid, sometimes kids can be a little picky when they eat. If you know me, I'll eat anything, anytime, anywhere. My wife has some dishes she won't eat, she doesn't enjoy. My son, same thing. So we tend to go to places where you can get a good variety. So we go to this place called the Country Buffet or Country Kitchen Buffet or something. We've eaten there before. It's been a few years, but we've eaten there before, and it was decent. Sundays, it's packed. Different church groups and different organizations tend to meet there. Large families, large groups of family members go there. Well, it's the three of us, so we're waiting in line. And as we're paying, and I'm finishing up the transaction, my wife and son grab the tray with the drink cups and the plates, and they go to find a table. And I glance over as I watch them walk away. And I see a woman. And if this would have happened once or twice, it wouldn't have stuck in my mind. But I see a woman who was missing a limb. She had the bulk of her left arm just above the elbow. She was missing her arm just before the elbow on her left arm. What was striking about it is she was extremely tall. She was over 6 foot, very tall woman. I want to say a little old, maybe my age, a little older, mid-50s, early 60s. And she's balancing her plate on her right hand. And then, you know, at a buffet, you got to get your own food. So she was kind of going from station to station. And I'm kind of, it just kind of caught my eye how agile she was with her plate. I spill with two good hands. And here's this woman, an amputee, balancing a fairly full plate, putting it down gracefully, filling up her plate and picking it up and going from station to station. I just thought to myself, hey, interesting. As I'm thinking that, I then start walking towards where my wife was getting a table. And a man comes walking towards me, not with this woman, completely independent of this woman. He is holding his plate in his left hand because he is missing his right arm. And that kind of stuck in my head. It's like, wow, that's interesting. Two people in the same restaurant, obviously not here together, and they're each missing the opposite arm. Interesting, but not that odd. I guess a little odd. It stuck in my brain. So we go to the table. Sandra and my son go to get their food. I wait there because purses and things are at the table and phones. So when they come back, a couple minutes later, they begin eating. I grab my plate and I start walking. And I look in front of me and coming towards me just having paid, so obviously not with the other two people, is a young lady. And I say, yeah, I want to say maybe 23, 24. In a wheelchair, and she has her right leg extended out. You know how the wheelchair feet kind of prop up, and that leg, that right leg, is in a very large leg brace, like from the ankle up to mid-thigh, like similar like you'd get with knee surgery or something. And what was striking about this woman, she was absolutely beautiful, early mid-20s, absolutely gorgeous. And her right leg is extended out in this leg brace as she has her plate in her lap and she's wheeling to her table. And then it struck me that her left leg had been amputated just above the knee on her left leg. So that's what really struck in my head. And it's not, you know, for no other reason than it's not every day you see somebody who has a limb amputated. And here in the course of 10 minutes, I see three separate people at the same restaurant with different limbs missing. And I don't know why it struck me as interesting, but to see, you know, three separate people, all amputees in one restaurant, it was just odd to me, and I don't know if that makes me a bigot of some kind or insensitive, or I don't know, but it just seemed odd that I would see three amputees in one restaurant in a 15-minute period, none of them together. It wasn't like it was the, you know, an amputee support group. They were all there independently, and it just, I don't know. Maybe it doesn't mean anything. Maybe it means I'm small-minded. Maybe it means I'm the weirdo. I don't know what it means, but it just struck me as different. It struck me as interesting. Anyway, so we get done eating. Now, this whole time, I am wearing shorts and flip-flops and a loose-fitting button shirt that I, same kind of I typically wear. Just because it was warm out, I wanted to be comfortable, I was tired, and I didn't have to be at my next gig until between 5 and 5:30 at Stand Up Live for the Never Not Funny Jimmy Pardo podcast. And here it is about 12 now. And Sandra and Anthony get in the car. We say our goodbyes in the parking lot, and they head up the hill coming back to the Prescott area. Here I am near Metro Center with 4+ hours to kill, and I am extremely, extremely tired. So what I do is I start looking around. I figured I've got a few hours to kill. I start looking around for a somewhere where I can park in the shade and maybe take a quick nap. So I start working my way towards downtown where I'm going to need to be at 5 o'clock. And I'm doing surface streets because I want to see if I don't know the area very well. So I drive surface streets until I see a park. And this is a very small park, less than a half a block, surrounded by, in a little neighborhood, surrounded by some fairly nice-looking homes. Right in front of one of the homes is a big tree and a parking space with parking limitations Monday through Friday. Here it is Sunday, so I can park there. So I pull up in the shade, roll down the windows, kick the seat back on the truck, and I start to doze. And I set the alarm on my phone for 4:30. That way I've got, it'll wake me up. I can still get to the club, go find somewhere to change, figure a gas station or something. And I will have plenty of time to get to the show. Well, I'm kind of tossing and turning. And as I'm doing so, I look over. There's not a single soul in this park. It's a big swath of cool grass, lots of trees and shade, and not a single body in the park. So I figured this is a nice opportunity for me to lay in the shade and take a little nap. So I lock everything up in the car. I don't want to risk losing something in the park. So I have my phone with the alarm set for 4:30 and my single key for my truck with the key fob, the alarm fob. So I get out, I chirp the alarm, and I immediately lay down across the street in a cool grass in the shade, and within seconds, I am out like a light. What wakes me up is somebody yelling, "Okay, everybody up, come on, come on, get up, get up." And I open my eyes to the sight of two Phoenix police officers, but they're talking to the park, not necessarily at me. They're not looking at me, and I'm laying on the on the grass. And then I open my eyes and kind of glance around. At this point, I don't know how long I've been asleep, but an entire homeless encampment has taken over this park in the short time I've been asleep. There is a woman with duffel bags about 5 feet from me sleeping. There's a man with a bicycle laden with on either side with huge plastic bags full of cans and plastic bottles and things. Then there's a shopping cart encampment, about 4 shopping carts overloaded with people sleeping near them. And I look, and I look at my phone, and I had been asleep for 15 minutes. In 15 minutes, this entire park turned into a homeless encampment, and this is what I've determined. I think I started it. Because as I look, as I'm getting my eyes adjusted, in the street, on the street where these nice houses are, like where I'm parked, I see 4 or 5 families standing in their driveways, in their respective driveways, looking at us. So evidently, some family saw this guy in flip-flops and shorts stagger out of a truck and fall down and go to sleep on the grass, and that prompted them to probably call the police. In the time they called the police, or maybe as they were calling, or even after they, or before they called, I don't know, other people saw this guy sleeping in the park, this guy being me, and said, "Hey, that looks like fun." And they decided to kind of, or maybe I just got there early and didn't know 1 o'clock was bedtime in this portion of the park. Anyway, so I start getting up and start walking to my truck, which is the opposite way that the police are herding us homeless out of the park. And immediately a guy, "Hey, oh, no, no, buddy, but the other way, go." And he starts waving, telling me to turn around. And I'm telling him, I said, "Well, no, that's my car right there." So I start reaching in my pocket for my key and my driver's license, which I realize I don't have because I don't have my wallet with me. No ID, but I'm reaching in my pocket for my keys. He didn't like that. When a cop is telling you to vamoose, immediately diving into your pocket's probably not a good idea. So he holds his hands up and says, "Whoa, whoa, buddy, let me see your hands." So I slowly extract my hands from my pockets. I said, I'm just trying to get my keys. That's my truck right there, right behind you. He goes, yeah, right, but no, just go. So I said, may I reach in my pocket? And he nods affirmatively. So with one hand, two fingers, I reach in my pocket very gently and extract my keys and then chirp my car. I hit the alarms. And he looks at me, he goes, what are you doing in the park? I said, I was tired. I said, when I got here 20 minutes, half hour ago, and there was nobody here. I worked last night. I got to be at work in a couple hours. I was just really tired and hot. He goes, well, get out of here. You got to go. So I get in my truck. So I'm rousted for being a vagrant is what happens. Then I remember that Wednesday when I was at House of Comedy, one of the comics, Matt Broom, the booker for the House of Comedy, asked me to take a picture of him, and he wanted a large poster blown up. So I was going to do it when I got back to Prescott, but I figured now I've been now rousted out of the park, out of my slumber. Maybe I'll go do that now. So I pull out my phone and I Google, and not too far from the park I'm in is a Sheraton, a very nice hotel, with a Kinko's / FedEx on the second floor near the conference rooms. So I drive over there, grab this thumb drive out of my laptop, and then with my shorts and flip-flops and now grass-filled shirt, there's still grass on my neck because I was hot and sweaty because I'm a fat pig, I stroll on into the Sheraton. The ground floor is a big, spacious lobby with a bar, and the bartender looks at me very strangely because this homeless-looking person just strolled on in the hotel. And behind the bar are these tall escalators going up to the conference floor area. So I take the escalator up. I see the Kinko sign. I walk in, arrange my transaction. The guy takes my thumb drive, says, this will be ready in a few minutes. So I ask him, I said, is there a restroom I can use? He goes, yeah, there's one right outside the door. Now, this isn't like the big public lobby area of the hotel. It's upstairs by the conference rooms, right where the FedEx office is. Is a dead end. It's the end of the hallway, and a little, what do they call it, like the family restrooms, where it's just the toilet and a sink. It's a one-person bathroom. So I go in there, look at myself in the mirror, and I'm very shocked that not only did I not get arrested for being a homeless person, but I'm surprised I was able to walk into this hotel. So I use the bathroom, I use the facilities, and kind of rinse my face, and I realize this restroom is about 65 degrees. It is cool and relaxing, and it's very nice. And I get a bright idea. I step out of the bathroom. My poster's done. I grab it, put it in a cardboard tube, and run down to the truck and grab my change of clothes, my new shirt, a pair of pants, shoes, and socks, and then immediately go back upstairs to the hotel bathroom, because I figured, hey, I can clean up in here, get dressed, and get ready for the show. So there I am in this bathroom, taking what is known as a hobo's bath, I guess is a nice way to say it, cleaning myself up in the sink, and then I get dressed, open the door, and I'm greeted by two Sheraton security officers who now roust me out of the hotel for being a homeless man taking a bath in their sink. So here, twice in one day, I am rousted for being a vagabond in Phoenix. Anyway, so I get back. They just shoo me away. I get back to my truck, head over to Stand Up Live, and enjoy the final shows of the All Things Comedy Festival. Check them out, allthingscomedy.com, standuplive.com, az.houseofcomedy.net, and tempeimprov.com. And, hey, go out and support some local Arizona comedy. Support this show by using our Amazon and our Audible links at milehighshow.com. And I hope I didn't bore you too much, but that is our show.